WCNO, listener-supported Christian radio for the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Welcome into Kingdom Recovery. My name is Pastor Tom Karras. I'm in tonight for Luann and James, who are basically out of town right now, and I thank them for this opportunity to come in and basically teach the kingdom of God a little bit. I've been studying it now for over 25 years, and I've really enjoyed what I've learned in it, and I love sharing it with other people and to help them to grow in their Christianity and their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Kingdom Recovery is here every Friday night. Starts at 5 o'clock, runs all the way till 6 o'clock. You've probably heard them on the radio here before. And, you know, first of all, I just want to thank them for this radio program. And hopefully you're thankful, too, for the time that they come on here. And they're coming on here out of their hearts just to help you to get free of stuff and to live the way God wants you to live. And I'm very proud of both of them from coming on and doing it, you know, every Friday night just for the people out there to help them in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, I'm Pastor Tom Karras. I'm from Treasure Coast Victory Center in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida. Basically, my email or my website is mytcvc.com. Once again, mytcvc.com. You can reach us there with all our sermons on Sunday and our sermons for Wednesday night. And anytime you're around, you can get a hold of us through Luann or through the radio station here. I've written a few books out there that we give away for free to try to help people out. I started out with a book called What Now?, which basically is a very, very easy book to understand, easy book to read. Then I also did Kingdom Now, which basically deals entirely with the kingdom of God and how to live in the kingdom of God, how to be a part of the kingdom of God. And then finally, I had one put together by someone in the church. It's a daily one where you go each day and you just read a little scripture. Then there's a little commentary under it. And that one's called No More Bad Days. And that's what we hope that book brings to you as you read it every morning and you see the commentary there. So those are available to you. You can get them through the radio station, get them through Luann. You can get them through Treasure Coast Victory Center. They are absolutely free. We give them to you for absolutely nothing. Okay, tonight I want to talk basically about the kingdom of God. I want to help change your thought life like God has changed mine over the last 25 years to deal in an important thing called the kingdom of God. We don't hear much about the kingdom of God. We hear about it in passing. People say, I'm in the kingdom of God and I like the kingdom of God. But to actually study it out and to find out what the kingdom of God is all about, it hasn't really been done that often, I don't think, in this area. So God put me on learning it for 25 years. So we're just going to go right to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 is a creation of man. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him, that man, have dominion over the earth. This is the very beginning with God, and you can see, first of all, God's original plan and original purpose was to create man, and he was to give him dominion. Man was to have dominion, and here it says he was to have dominion. Another word is authority. Another word is sovereign rule. Another word is a kingdom here on the earth. So the first thing given to man when he was created was dominion. That means that God basically wanted him to have dominion here on the earth. So that means if you've been going to church, you can go to church and you can worship, and there's nothing wrong with that. You can go to church and you can pray. There's nothing wrong with that. You can go to church and do whatever you want to do. But if you're not exercising your dominion, you're not exercising your authority and dominion on the earth realm, because that is the original plan that God had for each and every one of us. Now, I never operated in dominion through the first, 15 years of my Christianity when I got born again, basically, because nobody ever told me that I had authority. Nobody ever told me that in the kingdom of God I could do things, and I could stop things, and I could start things. So basically I lived without dominion. But the purpose that you were created, and whether you're using dominion or not, I don't know. I hope if you're not, you will learn that you have dominion here on the earth, because that was God's plan from the very beginning. So on the inside of me and on the inside of you, there is basically a desire to rule. We want to come to a place where we can control our circumstances, control our situations, control our problems. And that is God-given. And that is why every time you end up in bondage, it is so bad for you. It makes you feel terrible, basically because you know that you feel like you shouldn't be in bondage. You should have authority. That's that authority spirit that God has placed on the inside of us. When I used to do that, I felt like something was wrong, and I didn't know I was created to rule until I started studying the kingdom. But then I found out that I was created to rule situations and circumstances in my life. Up until that time, basically, I just put up with everything that came. You know, if sickness came into my life, I tolerated it. If stress came into my life, I tolerated it. If worry came, I just thought everybody worries anyway. I had no idea that I had dominion and rule over those things, and I could keep them out of my life. The Bible even says that sin shall not have dominion over you. But most of the church thinks that everybody sins. It's okay to sin. Thank God for the grace of God. But if God gave me dominion not to sin, then I want to use that dominion to not sin and stay in right relationship with God. So everyone in the earth, basically, is seeking authority. They're seeking to be able to control things in their life, their situations, control their circumstances. And many times, since we're not ruling over the earth or the things in the earth, that gets perverted. And basically, you can see it in every area of the world right now. You see husbands fighting with wives because they both want to have authority over something. You see workers in management constantly arguing over this or that. We even see right now nation against nation. Why is that? It's authority and it's God-given, but it's been perverted to use not against the things we need to use it against in the world, but basically we're perverting that authority and using it against other people. The authority that God gave you was never to have dominion over another person, ever. It was the situations, the circumstances, authority against the kingdom of darkness when they tried to put things in your life. And because we didn't know we had this authority, what are the things that we started to do? Basically, we started to fill the void that was on the inside of us that Adam and Eve gave us when they basically sinned. When they sinned, we lost that authority that we had, and we got this void on the inside of us when we're born here in the natural realm. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says that no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and you cannot serve money together. It's one or the other. So because of that, most of the world, and I got to say most of the church, are seeking money. Everything is about money. You get in the kingdom of God or you get born again, you come into a church, everything is about money. We think that money's going to give us control, and to a certain extent, it does. It gives you money. I mean, if I want to go eat someplace, it's good to have money to do it. If I want to live in a certain place, it's good to have money. But for your health and peace and joy, money cannot buy that at all. So we filled our hearts with going after money. So Jesus says, you can't serve God in money. You're going to have to make up your mind. Well, we naturally serve money because we had this void on the inside of us that we could not fill. So we went after things and we went after money. And if you just look around, you see even the rich people aren't any better off than the poor people anyway. The rich people are getting divorces. The rich people are depressed. The rich people are sad. So it's not money that we're looking at for happiness or joy or peace. It's the kingdom of God and that rulership that God gave us on the inside and the dominion to live free in every single area of our lives. And there's a story in the Bible. It's about a rich young ruler. And this guy sounded like a pretty good guy. He kept all God's commandments. He was very rich. You know, he was doing very well. But yet he still knew he was missing something. And he came to Jesus and said, what do I need to do, basically, to operate or enter into the kingdom of God? And, of course, Jesus said that you need to sell all you have and give it. Now, that don't mean that God wants you to give everything away, but it does want you to know that this authority and the kingdom needs to be the most important thing of your life. That's why Jesus in Matthew 6:33 told us to seek first the kingdom of God and right alignment with that kingdom, and all the things that you need will be added unto you. So money basically will not fulfill what we need on the inside. We need to go back and recover what we've lost in order for it to be fulfilled. And what is that? What do we need? Well, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, Jesus is speaking. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And we're all poor in spirit because that's the way we were born because of what Adam did. We were born sinners, and we were born with a demonic nature on the inside of us. So Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." He gave us the answer to our problem right off the bat. What is the answer to every problem you got? It is simply the kingdom of God. Getting in the kingdom of God, which is God's government, following God's laws and operating under God's way. When Adam disobeyed God and basically all he did was declared independence from the kingdom of God, which was God's government, at that time he lost the kingdom. At that time he also lost the dominion that everybody's lacking on the inside. He also lost God's spirit, because when man was man born of Adam and Adam sinned, basically he was no longer a righteous place for the Holy Spirit to dwell. And not only that, one of the most important things he lost for mankind was mankind's purpose. Your purpose is to have dominion on the earth. And when Adam lost the kingdom, he lost dominion. He lost the spirit. He could no longer fulfill his purpose here on the earth. And let me just deviate here a little bit. God put you here for a purpose. You're here in this day and in this hour because there's a purpose that God needs done here. And he picked you out to do that in this day and in this hour. So it's more than just trying to live a good life and get to heaven. You were put here. You were made by God. You were created by God. You were put here to fulfill a purpose. This date in 2026, the Bible says you're a chosen generation. People said, that's us. No, that's every generation. Every generation is a chosen generation by God to fulfill a purpose. So you have a purpose here that needs to be done. So Jesus came, and what did he come for? He came, of course, to defeat the devil. He came, of course, to restore mankind back to what we read in Genesis chapter 1. He wants us to go back to people in his image and in his likeness and basically with dominion here on the earth. So Jesus came to do that. Now, basically, the church talks a lot about going to heaven, and there's nothing wrong with going to heaven, but that is not our main focus here on earth. Are you saved and going to heaven? Are you going to end up in heaven? That's good, but Jesus never spoke about heaven that much. If you check, he spoke about the kingdom of God everywhere that he went, what it was like, what you could do to live in that kingdom of God. So basically, he never talked about religion. And the Church of Jesus Christ has basically got into religion in a lot of different areas and a lot of different ways, which is a spirit that gets in there that goes back basically to our self-performance rather than God's performance. So we are taught to pursue what we never lost. We're taught to pursue heaven. Well, we were never in heaven, so we didn't lose it. We were taught to pursue a religious relationship with God. We were never given a religious relationship with God. So what we need to do is find out what we are missing. And what we are missing is the kingdom of God itself and the authority which gives us our purpose here on the earth realm. Man's answer basically has been over the years something called religion, religiosity. People come up to me sometimes and say, "I can tell you're really religious." And I always want to say, "No, that's not it. I'm really kingdom. I'm really part of kingdom. I'm a son of God. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, and I want to operate that way and stay in line with the kingdom of God." In Matthew chapter 5, it talks a little bit about religion. Jesus said, "For I say unto you, except your righteousness," he's talking to the scribes and Pharisees, "shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of God." So here he's talking about the Pharisees. He's talking about the scribes. Back in this day, these were the most religious people around, according to the people who were there. They did religious works. They did religious traditions. They wore different clothes than everybody else. But notice, he said that those people, through that righteousness, would not even enter the kingdom of God, much be available to live in it. And we have been taught you know, when I was first in the church and first got born again, I was taught to do religious works in order to seek heaven. That's all I knew about. Basically, seek a religion. Do something so to make sure you get to heaven. Never told about the kingdom of God. So I went to church. Why did I go to church? Because I wanted to go to heaven. And they told me if I didn't go to church, I wasn't going to go to heaven. So I served in the church. I prayed. I was zealous for the things of God. But all this was to go to heaven, and I never lost heaven in the first place. It was basically just to please God. So my religious activities were trying to get back what man never lost and what I never lost and not what I was missing. Basically, it was to satisfy the hunger in man's heart for the kingdom of God. Now, since the kingdom of God has not been taught much or it has not been shared much, basically there's a lot of people out there in the church who are born again, who are kingdom people, who are seeking the wrong things. They're going after things that are not going to fill the void in your heart. But with that void, you're going to do something. You're going to try something to fill that void. That's why we have people who have alcohol problems who are born again. We have people who have drug problems. We have people who overeat. We have people who are going after money. Some gone after sex, some's gone after all these things. Why is that? Because they're trying to fill that void in them with something that they think will take care of and fulfill it. But all these things do not do it. They just take you in the kingdom of darkness and put you more into bondage than you were when you started out. You know, there's a time basically when I went to church for about 10 years and I was doing everything I thought was good. I was zealous for God. I was showing up, made every Sunday, every Wednesday. But I'll tell you what, I wasn't really happy. I was praying, I was doing all these things, but nothing seemed to be working out for me. And I found out basically that I was not being fulfilled at all on the inside, but on the outside, I looked really good, you know. Who's going to be there on Wednesday? Tom's going to be there on Wednesday. Who's going to be there on Sunday? Tom's going to be there on Sunday. But it was all self-effort works that I was trying to do to recover what God provided for me through the kingdom of God. So all these things from healing to blessing to getting God's ear to living in peace to living in joy that I was struggling to get through my efforts, I found out by studying the Bible that all these things were provided for me in the kingdom of God by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all this time I had wasted to try to get these things through my own effort, struggled to do things that I didn't even want to do. I wasted all that time because actually when I entered the kingdom of God, all these things were provided for me because they're part of the government for me. So when you entered the kingdom of God, you may not know it, but at that time, peace became yours. Joy became yours. Healing became yours. Power became yours. And here's where I was struggling. You know, I got born again and I knew I had the Holy Spirit. And everybody says, well, you need to operate in the power now. You need to have the power. And I said, good, I want the power. I was watching people on TV and these pastors on TVs and guys praying over people and knocking them down in the spirit and everything else. I said, wow, I want the power. And I begged for the power, and I pleaded for the power, and I stood on one leg and prayed for the power and tried to get the power. And then I came across a scripture that basically said, when you receive the Spirit of God, after you receive the Spirit of God, you shall receive power. And I found out that day that not only did I receive the Spirit of God and get born into the kingdom of God, but I got power that day. So I was spending my whole 10 years trying to get the power from God. I don't know how I ever thought when I got it, I got it. But basically, I was trying to get the power of God, not understanding that the power came to me when I went in the kingdom of God. It is part of God's government. It's part of his benefits. It's part of his privileges that he gives you when you enter the country because you are a citizen and you are a son of the living God. So then I found out that peace actually belonged to me. And then joy actually belonged to me. And before this, in religion, I was told, you need faith. You just need more faith. What you need is more faith. If you had more faith, you'd have power. If you had more faith, you'd have peace. If you had more faith, you'd have joy. So I kept getting more joy, and I read the scriptures, and I confessed the scriptures, and there's nothing wrong with this, but you're confessing scriptures for something to get something you've already got in the kingdom of God. In other words, peace was mine. I did not need faith for these things because Jesus provided them for me. I needed faith in these things because I possessed these things that were given to me this day that I entered the kingdom of God and got born again. So when I got born again, I started finding out all these things as I studied the Bible, things that people told me I needed more faith to get, and the Bible told me I already had them. The Bible told me that I'd been blessed with every spiritual blessing, yet every morning I was praying for God to bless me. Well, he'd already blessed me with every spiritual blessing. So I'm blessed Well, you don't look blessed. I don't care. I'm blessed. And I'm healed. Well, you don't look healed. You don't look too good at all today. Well, I'm healed. Why? Because these are my possessions. Now watch. Everybody wants to fight the devil. You're just standing against the devil. The devil comes what for? To steal. He doesn't come to keep you from getting something. He comes to steal from what you've already got by entering the kingdom of God. So he comes to steal your peace, steal your joy. And one way he does that is through religion, by telling you you don't have these things and you need to keep trying to get these things. And then when you get these things, everything will be better. And it will definitely be better when you die and go to heaven. But I didn't really want to die and go to heaven to get them, because I was only 30 years old when I got saved. So I wanted to live a lot longer than that. So basically, works that we did, they're not terrible to go to church. It's not bad to do these things, but they got to be done out of a right motive. I went to church in thanksgiving for the love that God has provided all these things for me. I didn't do it to try to manipulate God and impress God to get these things from him. So basically, all this comes by being what the Bible calls born again. And let's just go to John chapter 3. This is one of the only sermons that basically Jesus ever preached about being born again. John chapter 3, let's just start in verse 1. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. So this, as you read this, and I was told so much about wanting to go to heaven and needing to go to heaven, when I read about being born again, basically it said absolutely nothing about heaven when I read this scripture. It didn't say get born again and go to heaven. It said get born again and then you will enter into God's kingdom and God's government and God's realm, basically. So when you got born again and born of the Spirit, you were born of water when you were born into this earth realm, but everybody needs to born again because you are a spirit being. You have a soul. You are not a soul. You have a soul, which is mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a physical body. So when you're born again, here it says you enter into the kingdom of God. Doesn't mention heaven. It's telling you that you have now entered into the kingdom. Well, basically, when I got in the kingdom of God and I started reading the Bible and comparing what Jesus said about the kingdom to what I had learned about religion, I found out that I was basically doing the opposite that I was supposed to be doing to live in the kingdom of God. Religion basically was preparing me to leave earth, to be good, telling me to act right so I get to heaven, go to church, give enough. But when I got in the kingdom of God, I found out the kingdom perspective empowered me to dominate, not leave the earth, but dominate the earth. And it was my purpose for being here. I was put here with the authority of God to dominate the earth. I was put here with a fulfillment to do that. God gave me the anointing and everything to carry that out. So I was no longer looking to the day when I'll finally go to heaven. I was looking to my purpose that I had in the earth right now. Religion also focuses on heaven. Where are you going? Are you going to heaven? Now you're going to heaven. You've been born again. You're going to heaven. But the kingdom put my focus right back on earth here. Basically says, am I using my dominion that I was created to do? Am I fulfilling my purpose that God put me here for? Am I seeking God's will on the earth rather than my will through him on the earth? So it started changing my mentality to make me, if you would, more earthly-minded than heavenly-minded. Basically, it was showing me that I was just not down here to get saved and then go to heaven. If that was true, then once you got born again, God might as well just take you out of here and get it over with. No, he put you here to get born again, get saved, get all the gifts that come with the kingdom of God, and then extend his kingdom to other people and have them come in on immigration policy to the kingdom of God. Religion was always, to me, was reaching up to God, pursuing God, lifting my hands to God, trying to get God to hear me, doing all I could. And I was just this unworthy person down here trying to get a holy God to do something for me. I was crying and I was a suffering and I was doing everything that I could do. But then I found out in the Bible, basically through the kingdom is all about not us going to God, but God coming down to us. that he sent Jesus Christ. God was pursuing you. You don't have to pursue him. He came after you. When you read about the temple and the veil was rent not from bottom to top, not from you ripping it to get to God, but from top to the bottom where God came down to restore us back to our original position through Jesus Christ. The next one is religion wants to escape earth, basically, because it's so wonderful. And I mean, we got a bunch of songs about this, don't we? How great it's going to be when we get to heaven. We all fly away. Oh, this is going to be so much fun. We can't wait till we get there. We can't do it. We just can't wait. And then basically I found out later on that God doesn't even want me to go to heaven. He wants me down here to impact the earth, make a difference in the earth, get other people into the kingdom of God, and basically do what the purpose that I was put here to do. You know, God, once again, had a purpose for you, and that purpose was before you were even created. You're on the inside of God, basically, and he already picked out what was going on in 2026, what was happening on this day, this week, this year, what he needed for that time. And basically, he picked you at that time, put everything on the inside of you so that you could impact this earth, at least your little earthly area. Now, you're not going to be able to save the whole world, but there's people around you, your neighbors. There's people even in your church who don't understand the kingdom, who are still in religion, and you can bring them out of that. So the kingdom wants to impact the earth. It wants to influence the earth. That is your call. That is your purpose. We are to fulfill God's plan here on the earth, and his plan basically was to extend his kingdom into the earth realm through mankind. Most of my life, I was looking forward to a future event instead of a present purpose. Can't wait till we get to heaven. Always looking in the future for it. Didn't know that I had something to do today. I had a purpose today. I have a purpose today. What happened? Luann was out of town, and James wasn't here, and my purpose was to come on this radio and to tell you about the kingdom of God for an hour. That was my purpose for today. So there's always a purpose in every day that you'll find that God is setting up for you to do what needs to be done. Another thing is religion desires, like I say, to leave earth and go to heaven, but the kingdom of God prayer, and we pray it in the Our Father, is not for us to go to heaven, but it's to get heaven into the earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For gosh sakes, all that time I was trying to get to heaven, and all that time God's trying to get heaven down here. And then I read in the Old Testament where I could live a heavenly lifestyle of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So all these things I started taking, got out of religion trying to get them through my own efforts and through being good and manipulating God, and I just received what Jesus provided for me freely through the blood of his Son. So my early Christianity, I mean, the first 10 years was a life of struggles, man. It was trials. It was battles. I was hoping for the best. Now that I'm a Christian, I thought things would get better, but they really weren't getting that much better. And I mean, I was zealous for God. I was reading the Word. I was praying. But then again, I was allowing things in my life that nobody ever told me I could prevent. They just told me, you know, God's in control of everything, and if you get hit by a truck, then that's just the way it's supposed to be, and you can't do nothing about it, and you can't do anything about sin, and you can't do anything about sickness. And all these things I was praying to God to do for me in my life, not understanding that when I entered the kingdom, he gave me dominion over all these things, and I could rule over circumstances and over situations like he called me to do. Many times I was crying out to a God who I thought may sometimes heard me and sometimes he didn't hear me. And even when he heard me, he sure as heck wasn't awake because he wasn't doing anything about it. But I was missing that righteousness, that right alignment with God, that right alignment with his thinking, that right alignment with kingdom thinking and kingdom actions that lined me up to God. I was praying to God so that he would become aware of all my troubles. I was longing to go to this place called heaven, where things would be much, much, much better when I got there. But the Bible says that God's will should be done on earth as it is in heaven right now. And I and you and everybody here who's in the kingdom of God has a purpose, and that is to extend this kingdom to other people. It's basically like a country, you know, the southern border in the United States. People are trying to get across that southern border because they want to get into a better country with better privileges, with better stuff, with better benefits. Well, we're trying to get people into the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, the kingdom of God has better privileges, better wealth, better supplies, better than all the things that you need than living in the world without living in the kingdom of God. So nobody in Christianity ever told me about the kingdom of God. They never told me about living a kingdom life. You were just a Christian, and you were living like all the other Christians. What were the Christians doing? Worrying. So what did I do? I worried. And many times I spent after church trying to see who had the biggest worry. You know, oh, you think you're worried? Look at me. I can really worry now. You think you're afraid? I can really be afraid. But I didn't understand that God already said I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, and that I could stand against the spirit of fear. So basically, I started using this dominion that God gave me to hang on to what he gave me freely. He gave me health. I don't use my dominion to get health. I use my dominion to hang on to the health that he gave me because somebody's coming to try to steal it from me. And I came to the revelation that it's preached all over, but it's not truth. God is not in control of everything. God created man in the beginning to be an authority over the earth. He never wanted to come to the earth. He wanted man in his image, in his likeness, to be in control here on the earth. As a matter of fact, he wanted heaven and earth to be just like each other, so that when you're on earth, except it was in the spiritual realm or the natural realm, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. But of course, Adam messed that up. So today, there's legal rights that you have if you've been born again in the kingdom of God. Now, if you're just going to church and you're doing your best and you're not even born again, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you need to enter the kingdom of God first of all. Once you enter the kingdom of God and you're born again, you need to go through the Bible and find out what is yours, not what you're hoping to get from God, because Jesus provided it. And here where, you know, we struggle with what they call pride a lot. You know, you think you're something, you think this and that. But a lot of spiritual pride has to do with you thinking that you can do something to get healing from God, to get blessing from God. In other words, if you get a healing from God because you're fighting to get it, if you do your best to get peace from God and you get it, then you get the pat on the back for it, not understanding that you can't get it. Jesus provided everything. I am blessed because of Jesus. I have peace because of Jesus. I am healed because of Jesus. It has nothing to do with me. In other words, he'd probably be better off if I wasn't even involved in it. So all these things were given to us in the kingdom of God, provided for us. You have victory now. The Bible says you are more than a conqueror. When? Now. The Bible says you have authority over sin. When? Now. The Bible says you should tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. When are you going to do that? When you die and go to heaven? Well, there's no demons up there. What are you going to be walking on, Christians and save people? No, it's right now you have these things. So all these things are things that you have. They belong to you. You said, well, I can't see them. Well, no, you can't, because you walk by faith and not by sight. But the more you put faith in having them, the more you'll see them manifested in the natural realm. All right, let's just go see what Jesus thought about this. Go to John chapter 17. Okay, John chapter 17, basically Jesus says, I pray not that you should take them, praying to the Father and praying about us, I pray not that you should take them out of this world, but you should keep them from the evil in it. Yet we have so many people praying to get out of here when Jesus is praying for us to stay here. And I got to guess that Jesus' prayer is probably going to be better than yours. So you're probably going to stay here, whether you want to stay here or you don't want to stay here, because that's what Jesus did. What does he do? He doesn't want you out of here. The only one who wants you out of here is Satan. The devil wants you out of here. Why? Because you're a problem. You're a problem from him. I don't even think he cares whether you go to heaven or hell. He just wants you out of this earth where you've got no authority anymore, because when you leave, you're no longer a man in a physical body and you lose your authority. That's why if you're out there today and you're thinking, my goodness sakes, you know what? I think I'm just going to wait and I'm going to get saved after I die. Well, you're making a mistake. Because once you die and leave this physical body, you're no longer a man per se. You're now a spirit, and you no longer have authority to make that choice. You have to make that choice while you're in a physical body in order to do that. So basically, the kingdom of God has empowered us to dominate. We now have a fulfillment of purpose to do what? Influence others, to impact the earth, to change the earth, not to leave it. Every person on earth has a purpose and an assignment. Even if they're not born again, they were put here for something, and they were created before the foundation of the world to do it. So the question is, why are you here? Maybe you never knew that. Why am I on this earth realm anyway? What the heck am I doing here? What was God thinking? Well, God saw in the future a long time ago that he needed somebody like you to be here right now to solve some problems that needed to be solved in this day and in this hour to get to somebody else who needs to get in the kingdom. And he picked you out of all those sperm cells. He got you in his mother's womb. The Bible says he knew you in there, and he put you in this earth to fulfill what God has told you to do. So the Bible, as you read it, don't read it as a religious book. You got to read it as a legal contract from God. It's telling you who you are. You are now a citizen of the kingdom of God with all its benefits. You are now a son of the living God. What are you here for? I'm here to invade the earth with God's will, his purpose, his intent, because I want to cause the nature and the culture of God into this earth realm. So now I have a purpose for living. Now I have an assignment. Now I can go to the grocery store with a purpose right now. What am I looking? To extend God's kingdom through the authority that he gave me. Oh, every place I go, now I've got a purpose because there's people there who need to hear the good news about the kingdom of God that Jesus preached. All right, let's look at some more religious ideas. Go to Matthew chapter 23. Jesus spoke a lot about the Pharisees. You know, his number one enemy when you read in the Bible was religion. The religious people came against him more than almost all the other people who weren't even thinking about God or anything else came against him. So Matthew 23, look at verse 13. Jesus says, "Woe." Now, how many know when Jesus says woe, it means woe. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither do you allow them to go in." So he's given a warning here about what religion does. Religion basically is one of the greatest enemies to kingdom living because you live religiously. Religion and its leaders, notice what it says, they shut up the kingdom of God. In other words, they close the door from entering the kingdom of God. Why is that? Because religion in my life postponed the kingdom. It postponed power. It postponed dominion. It postponed a victorious lifestyle. It postponed all these things until I died and went to heaven. For now, just do your best. Brother, just hold on, brother. Just hang in there. Everything's going to be all right. Whatever God wants, that's what God wants until you go to heaven. It basically gave me a religion of tolerance. I put up with everything and look for everything in the future, not understanding that those things already belonged to me when I got in the kingdom of God. So religion wants you to keep trying to get those things, basically, that you don't see in the natural realm, but belong to you because Jesus provided them for you. So you've got no kingdom benefits until you get to heaven. When you get to heaven, everything's finally going to be all right. Don't worry about it when you get to heaven. But then Jesus Christ came and his first sermon was the kingdom of God is here. So if the kingdom of God is here when Jesus came back, but I don't really enter the kingdom of God and its benefits till I get to heaven, then I don't enter the kingdom of God until I die and go to heaven, because the only way I can get to heaven is to die. So it doesn't even make sense. So if you're going to wait to enter the kingdom of God when you get to heaven, you're not really going to need all the things from the kingdom. Then you're just going to walk right into them. So basically we have dominion, we have authority, but all these things are available to us today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. In other words, well, I'd have got saved when I was 30, but God wanted me to wait. No, he didn't. You could have been saved at 15, 16, 20, 22, 25. It was all available to you. The thing is, you never got a clue that that belonged to you. And once you received it, you got saved. And that was it. You never had to ask God to save you again. You never had to try to get saved again. You got saved. Well, it's the same way with peace. You got born again in the kingdom of God. You now have peace that passes all understanding. By his stripes, you've already been healed. You've got joy, unspeakable joy, and full of glory. He already said he would meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. All these things have been provided for you, and they belong to you. The problem is we've got a religious mindset rather than God's kingdom mindset. And if you don't believe you have these things, like righteousness and like peace and like joy, you cannot appropriate or put into effect anything in your life that you postpone to the future. How many know that you don't need power tomorrow? You need it today. You don't need joy tomorrow. You need it today. You don't need peace tomorrow. You need peace today. Because when tomorrow comes, if you feel like you don't have peace, you're going to push it off to the next day and the next day and the next day. So religion for me postponed things in my life. My freedom coming. Don't worry, it's coming. Revival's coming. All these things are coming. I found out I could live in revival all day, every day. Now, there's going to be a big revival, I believe, at the end with all of my heart, but I don't have to wait on that because I don't even know it's going to come in my lifetime or not. So I'm going to live in revival today. I'm already revived. I'm out there. What am I doing? I'm fulfilling the thing that Jesus put me here to do, the thing God created me to do. I have a purpose. I'm on the lookout. I'm undercover agent. I'm invading the earth realm. I'm invading people's minds and their hearts. I'm trying to get them into the kingdom of God. Praise God. So all these things change the way that you think. It can even make your job fun. I mean, you can get on work every day complaining about your job. Oh, these people, I'm telling you what, I work with five people that just are terrible. Yeah, that's why you're there. Yeah, that's why he put you there. Now it's become a challenge, hasn't it? Now it's become almost a game. Now it's become a fulfillment of what you're supposed to do. You pick them off one by one. You show them through your character. You show them through your power. You pray for them when they're sick. You operate in the things of God. Now you're advancing the kingdom of God, not waiting for the power to do it, not waiting for the ability to do it, but you got it when you entered the kingdom of God. All right, let's look at another one. Go to Matthew chapter 21. Most of these are in Matthew. You'll be able to find them in that book in red. All right, Matthew chapter 21, look at verse 31 and 32. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the tax collectors and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." Now, how many of you know they probably really didn't enjoy this very much? "John came unto you and told you the way of righteousness, but you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the harlots believed, and they repented." So here's Jesus once again. He's coming to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and basically one of the things he's trying to get across here, and this is good news for a lot of people, your past does not dictate your entrance into the kingdom. It doesn't matter if you were a harlot. It don't matter if you were a tax collector. It don't matter what you got involved in beforehand. You can still enter the kingdom of God. You don't have to do anything special to get in. It's been freely provided by just accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So when we were born into the world, we were actually born into something called the kingdom of darkness because of Adam's sin. Well, basically, the Bible says he has delivered us out of the power of darkness. And now you've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And when that happened on that day, immediately the Bible also says you were created a brand new creature, a brand new species of being. That means the old person didn't do anything anymore. As a matter of fact, he died on the cross the day that Jesus died. And the day that I got born again, now I am a new creation. So some people, you know, "I was just so bad. I'm just so guilty. Even though I'm saved, God don't really do anything for me." God has forgot your past. The only one who's not forgot your past is you. He's thrown him in the depths of the sea, and the only person swimming for him is you. Once you got born again, all those things, all that guilt, all that condemnation, all that shame was wiped away, and you were born again as a brand new creation. So it doesn't matter if the person was a harlot before. It doesn't matter what they did before. What matters is now they have been born again. So it doesn't matter basically what you have done. It matters what the blood has provided for you. It's not where you've been. God's only interested in where you're going now. He wants to know what you're going to do now. You're born in the kingdom. Well, God, way back when, he don't care about 20 years ago. He cares about today. What are you going to do today? Where are you headed now? Are you headed learning in my kingdom? Are you growing in my kingdom? Are you understanding the kingdom? Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, you're not going anywhere. Because first of all, you're not a sinner. You're still living with the old mindset. You're a brand new creation, and you're not a sinner anymore. The Bible says you are now the righteousness of God in Christ. And this is important because the Bible says in, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that you will behold his face and become like he is. So if you look at Jesus the way Jesus is, that's how you are now in your identity because he made you right back in Genesis chapter 1. You are now back in the image and the likeness of God and have dominion on this earth. And whatever you're looking at, if you look at yourself as a sinner, I guarantee you, you will have no problem sinning. You won't have to take a course on sinning. You will do just fine as far as sinning. If you believe you're a failure, you'll live in failure. Why is that? Because your mind makes a difference on how you think and how you believe and how you act. So basically, we've got to go and look what the kingdom says about us, not what religion has told us. Religion requires you to do basically penance for your sins. Many times they'll tell you to do this or do that for your penance. And you'll feel like you got it. Did I do enough penance? Didn't I do enough penance? Was I nice enough to my sister this time so that I can do it? And basically you start getting guilty and you get unholy and you get unforgiveness and all this stuff. Religion just put so much pressure on me. I didn't know if I was doing enough or not. I didn't know if I was, even when I went to church, was I doing good in church or not? Was God watching me? It made God look like this evil person up there who was checking me out, watching me on my self-performance. But God is not really interested that much in your self-performance. He's interested in Jesus' performance. And if you start putting faith in Jesus' performance, it will take care of your self-performance. You taking care of your self-performance ain't going to work. It's not going to happen. You ain't going to be able to change yourself. You ain't going to be able to adjust anything. You have got to say, hey, He made me righteous by his blood. Therefore, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm healed by the stripes. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. Praise God. So the kingdom through the blood, I found out I was born of God now. Not just born of my family, but I was born of God. I was actually a son of God now, a son in the family of Almighty God. I was a citizen in the country of heaven now, which means I have rights, I have privileges, I have benefits that belong to that government that belonged to me. I was now, the Bible told me, righteous and holy. The Bible calls me in Revelations a king. My God, I'm a king here on the earth. I'm a ruler. I'm not a loser. Basically, what did it do? It gave me a new identity of who he had made me and what I became. And by believing those things, rather than trying to get those things, it kicked me off into a new realm. I'm telling you, the peace in your life, the joy in your life, the victory in your life, the excitement in your life, every day is exciting. Every day is a new adventure because you now have a purpose here on the earth. You know why you're here. There's a reason that you are here rather than just to get up, go to work, come home, eat some dinner, watch TV, go to bed. What am I doing here? What a waste of time. And everybody says, I can't wait till I retire. Then they retire and said, gosh, I wish I was working again because I ain't doing nothing now. And nobody can make up their mind either way. But now there's a purpose. God created you in his image. You're back there now through the blood and through the new creation and through entering the kingdom of God. You're now in his image, in his likeness, and you now have dominion authority here on the earth realm to fulfill what God wanted you to do. All right, let's do another one. Go to Matthew chapter 15. All right, Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says, you make the commandment of God of no effect through your traditions. So here, once again, who is he talking to? The same people. I mean, these people had to get tired of these sermons. He was talking to the scribes and Pharisees. He says, tradition makes the word of the kingdom of non-effect. In other words, Christianity basically, in this day and age, I believe, has tailed off into religion. It's well established. We have rituals. We have the same basic customs. We have the same traditions. I mean, every year we have Christmas. That's fine. Every year we have Good Friday. That's all right. Every year we have Easter after that. That's good. Then we have Pentecost. Hallelujah, the Holy Ghost comes. And then basically, but there's no feast day for the kingdom of God. Did you notice that? Which is one of the most important things you need to understand as you enter the kingdom. So basically, Christmas, yeah, Jesus was born. Hallelujah. Good Friday, Jesus died. Praise the Lord. Easter, Jesus is raised from the dead. Pentecost, the Holy Ghost is coming this week on Sunday. Praise God. So we celebrate these traditions, but then we don't take advantage of what they really provide. We celebrate that Jesus was risen from the dead, but nobody claims the righteousness that he provided when he was raised from the dead. So what do? Well, we wait till next year on Easter, and then we celebrate Easter again. We celebrate Pentecost, which we just did recently. But then we forget about the Holy Ghost until Pentecost the next year. No, these things are all right, but they're not for you to go from one to the next and forget about them for a year. They are basically for you to understand and find out what these things did for you. Jesus being born as a man gave him the right, number one, to defeat the devil for you, and number two, to go to the cross for you so that you could get born again. Number two, basically, Good Friday, yeah, he died on the cross. But when he died, you died. So the old man you keep carrying around, get rid of him. He's dead. Then Easter Sunday, he was raised from the dead. The Bible said he was raised for your justification. Hallelujah. So he was raised for my justification. Are you justified? Yes, I am. What did you do to get justified? Jesus was raised from the dead. But what did you do? Nothing. Jesus was raised from the dead, and he provided by his blood justification and righteousness for me. So I'm going to think I'm righteous. I'm going to live righteous. When I do something unrighteous, I'm going to repent because I'm a righteous person, and a righteous person don't do that kind of thing anymore. So basically, these traditions basically sometimes lock us in, and then we argue in the church over things. Now, we've got baptism, which is fine. It's in the church, but we argue, should you baptize in the name of Jesus? Should you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Well, we baptize in the name of Jesus. Well, we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we end up in big fire. When's the rapture coming? Well, I believe it's pre-trib. Well, we believe it's post-trib. Well, we believe it's in the middle. Now you got three people mad at each other, fighting about this. Listen, Jesus is more concerned about you living a baptized life than how many times you get dunked or whose name it's in. And as far as the rapture goes, you better be ready for the rapture today. No matter when it's coming, you should be living a life of the kingdom of God and a life with a good relationship with God. So basically, even in church, when I lived in church, And the church I was in, I couldn't even get rid of my sin unless I went to a man. I had to go to a man. I had to tell him about my sins. When I told him about my sins, he gave me absolution. Then he told me when he gave me absolution that I should pay a penalty for it. I should do so many Our Fathers, so many of this, so many of that. And what happened? Well, I didn't know what to do. So what was I? I was bored. So even before I was saved, I was going to church. I was going to church every Sunday. Why? Because they told me if I didn't go to church, I was going to go to hell. So I went to church. I was about half awake. I was bored, watching my watch, hoping the church was an hour like it always is. And I was going to church. Why? So I wouldn't go to hell. Well, then I found out there's something worse than not going to church and going to hell. And that's going to church and going to hell, because I was wasting my time while I was there anyway. So basically all these things, these traditions that we do, religion is based on what you do for God. The kingdom is based on what God has done for you. Kingdom is based on the love that God had for each and every one of us. He came because he loved mankind, had a plan for mankind, and then he restored us back to our original position way back in Genesis 1, that we're now back in the image and likeness of God. Religion, basically, if you see, it didn't like Jesus. It always came against Jesus. It hated Jesus. It wanted to put Jesus to death. Why did he do that? Because he put people ahead of their rules and their traditions, and that made them mad. Notice Jesus. Whenever he healed in the Bible, when you look at it, he always healed on the Sabbath. Now, why did he do that? I think he did it to irritate. I think he did it to irritate the religious people who said you couldn't do that. So when he healed somebody, he did it on the Sabbath day. He ate with sinners. He forgave the prostitute. He did all these things, basically, that religious people looked and did not like. So God was never into man-made traditions. He is into man-made people. That's what God's into. God is into people. And when people become your number one desire for what you want and what you want to help and to love them and to help them, then your whole life changes around where you're no longer locked into yourself so much. All right, let's go to another. Matthew chapter 11. All right, once again, this is in red. That means Jesus is doing the talking. Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 16. It says, "The children of this generation say, 'We piped for you, and you did not dance. We mourned for you, and you did not cry.' Jesus came not eating and drinking. They said, 'He got a devil.' Jesus came eating and drinking. They said, 'He's a glutton, and he's a wine bibbler.'" When you're in religion, one way you can tell is that you're never happy. You're never content. It doesn't matter what anybody's doing or what you're doing. You're always got a problem with what's going on and what's happening. Here they say they piped a tune where they wanted everybody to dance. The religious people say, "You shouldn't be piping a tune to dance. You should be mourning today." So the next day they played a mourning tune, and he came back again and said, "Well, you shouldn't be playing a mourning tune. You should be playing a dancing tune today." So what were they doing? They were always looking at and criticizing what was going on, because they're always living in that realm of trying to live up to God's expectations. It didn't matter if you ate or drank, didn't matter what, they found something. So there was a criticalness there, basically, that comes upon you, and basically I like to call it a religious spirit. And it makes you judgmental in many of the things that you're doing. And basically, you're focusing on what other people are doing wrong. I try to focus, and most of the time I do, focus on what I am doing wrong, what the mistakes I am making, because I'm the only one that I can really change. I can preach the Word of God, but people have to listen, and people have to make the adjustments that when you preach the God. And then it went on, it basically one time, and Jesus said, "The problem with you is you're trying to get your specs out of the eyes of other people around you when you've got a beam in your own eye." In other words, they had a big problem, but they were trying to deal and criticize everybody else's little problems that were there. And that was like the lady caught in adultery. What happened when she was caught in adultery? They said, "Stone her. Stone her. She committed adultery." That's what it says. So Jesus comes along and said, "Well, any one of you who have never sinned, go ahead and throw the first stone." Well, how many know that wasn't going to work out very good, because they had all sinned? So what was he doing? He was trying to cut off that critical spirit that was coming there, that was trying to charge other people, trying to see what they're doing wrong with that beam in their own eye and not the speck that's there. So we've got people, and even in churches, it's too bad that churches are like this, but they are. I mean, you've got people in churches, they'll come to your church for 2 or 3 weeks, and then once they disappear and go to the next church. And why do they leave your church? Because they're trying to find the perfect church, and your church wasn't in it. So they went to the next church down the road. And I like to tell them that you're never going to find the perfect church, because you're in that church now. But I probably wouldn't make them very happy, but that's the truth, praise God. Because if you're finding fault with everything else, I mean, your job is not the Holy Ghost's job. It's your job. So what are you doing? Basically, you're checking yourself out. You're getting the specks out of your eye. And even when you find something in someone else, you're encouraging them and building them up in order to complete their walk with Christ too. That's what you're there for. So a religious spirit basically seeks to serve the Lord but also gain approval to men. And there's one scripture in the Bible, it's in Matthew once again, that talks about someone who said, well, I've cast out spirits in your name, and I've healed the sick in your name, and I've done all these great things in your name. What were they doing? Well, they were doing the works of God, which are very good, but the problem was that they were doing them to be noticed. They were drilling them to basically be seen by God, to be moved up into another level in the church. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Why did he know them? Because they did not have the right heart. Basically, what were they doing? They were idolizing and worshiping their works. Jesus did not heal the sick, did not cast out devils, did not build a resume with the Father because he wanted to be noticed. As a matter of fact, he ran away most times when they started coming. He did it because the Bible said he was moved with compassion. He was moved with love. He was moved with love for other people. So basically, when you enter the kingdom of God, you need to receive the benefits. But the way you do that is by seeking the kingdom of God and the change that needs to take place in your life. So the answer to you today, and the answer to anyone who's been born into this natural realm, is basically to seek first the kingdom of God, find the kingdom of God. And most of you hopefully have entered into the kingdom of God. But now stop thinking religiously and find out what belongs to you. And find out the benefits that Jesus Christ provided for you. I love Jesus more and more, finding out that he not only loved me enough to save me, that was wonderful, that was great, but he did so many other things for me. He made me righteous. He made me holy. He actually gave me a purpose to be here, a reason to live life. And when I get my purpose fulfilled and when I get it done, and, you know, I've got the 3 books wrote out there, and that's not patting myself on the back, but those books were in me from the foundations of the world. The problem was with me as I was not born again and not really seeking the kingdom of God. So just start seeking the kingdom of God. I would suggest you find the red in your Bible in the 4 Gospels. Go read about Jesus. See what he told you not to do. See what he tells you to do. But also see what he provided for you in the kingdom of God. There is a life for you, a kingdom life for you, not a Christian life for you. Christian life is a life of worry. It's a life of fear. It's a life of depression. But kingdom life is a life basically of living in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And you can have that today. Don't wait for tomorrow. Today is the day not only of your salvation, but salvation means peace and joy and freedom and deliverance and everything that you ever wanted to have in your life. So I'm telling you today, it's available to you today, but you've got to make the decision. It's entirely up to you. And I just want to pray for you here once again. I want to thank Luann and thank James for this opportunity to do it. They will be back next week. Father, I just thank you for whoever heard this message today. I thank you that I know it penetrated their hearts today. I pray that it stirred them up to seek first your kingdom, to find out the benefits, to find out what belongs to them, basically to find out how good Jesus really was to each and every person here. I command a blessing upon every household here. I thank you for the Spirit of God moving in their hearts and in their minds. I thank you for renewing them to the Word of God and the things of God, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.